On the line is the host of Bet MGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ryan Horvat. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good. We're good. We were just talking about a little bit of hurricane recovery. We're slowly but surely, several areas of this greater New Orleans area are still hurting pretty good, but incremental progress is being made. Ryan, let's get to any action on tonight's game with the Giants and the Washington football team.
Absolutely. And my thoughts and prayers, obviously, for you guys and, praying and rooting for you guys. Looking at tonight, looking at the NFL, I like the football team. You know, I've talked with a lot of sharp and smart people out in Las Vegas, and a lot of people actually like the New York Giants tonight, especially when that spread, hit 3.5. But I like the football team. You look at New York, and I know Daniel Jones, the one thing he does is he beats Washington, and the Giants have beat the football team in the last 5 meetings. They've owned them, and that's the one team that Daniel Jones has had success against. But I think that comes to an end tonight just because that offensive line has been shaky, and that's being nice. Now they're having an issue with the center position. And I know Montez Sweat and, Chase Young, they didn't have the biggest week one. But also, if you look at the Chargers, they had really good success on third down, third and long. Justin Herbert had a hell of a week. But I think that the defensive line is going to get after Daniel Jones. They're going to make things really uncomfortable. New York wasn't really able to establish the run game week one. But then again, Saquon's coming off of that injury. I like the football team tonight, even with Heinicke. I think that they're going to pick up the victory by a touchdown.
Ryan, what do you think is your – if you had to give advice, what's the best bet you feel like for this weekend? I know it's always a risk, but give me one that you feel really, really good about.
In the college game, actually, as crazy as this sounds, I like Florida State to cover the 5 points. And I know that's kind of disgusting after what we saw, again last week. Week one, they looked really good against the Notre Dame team, which I'm still questioning how good that Notre Dame team is. I really like them defensively, offensively. I think they're still trying to figure some things out. And then they have the upset loss last week where they lose on pretty much a Hail Mary. But still, I feel like this is their season. It's week three. They're 0-2. And this is kind of like their Super Bowl because they don't want to start 0-3. And I just feel like the market is overreacted a little bit because they are 0-2 and they are coming off a disappointing loss to an unranked team. But if you look at it and you play it 2 weeks ago, this was pretty much a pick 'em. Wake Forest was just 2-point favorites. Now it's ballooned all the way out to 5.5 points. I think Florida State's going to keep it close, and I think they even have a shot to win this game outright. I think Mackenzie Milton is still trying to, we never thought he was going to play football ever again. So I think it's just remarkable that he's even able to be out there. And so I'm rooting for Florida State, and I think that that's my best bet in the college game. As far as the pros, I was shocked at how good Jalen played last week, and I'm going to take a shot with the Eagles to cover the 4 points against the San Francisco 49ers. I see it's come all the way down to 3. I'm really high on this Niners team. I love Kyle Shanahan. I love his play-calling abilities. But the Eagles are actually able to stop the outside run a little bit. And I think Jalen really impressed me week one, standing in the pocket, not just looking to bail out all the time and use his legs. Didn't really have to throw the ball downfield. But I thought that they looked pretty good, and I think they're going to keep it close. And I feel like everybody, all the public, is going to be on the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm going to go with the Eagles at home.
Ryan, I'm looking at this over and under point total with New Orleans and Carolina, and I've seen it increase almost again today. That's the third straight day they've bumped it up. It's all the way up to 47.5. Yesterday it was at 45. Would you take the over or the under here?
A lot of money coming in on that one. And I am going to take the Saints. So let me tell you guys this. Huge win, and I can't believe how good they look. So I will admit I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan, and I had hopes that this is finally going to be the year. It's been a while. They're 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. After some drama all offseason long, we finally get Aaron Rodgers back. I've been living in Wisconsin the last couple of years, just moved to D.C., so I was covering the team. Love Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur was completely outcoached by Sean Payton. That was the perfect game plan. You keep Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines. I think Rodgers ran like 13 plays only. The Packers' offense did in the first half. Jameis looked good because they didn't ask Jameis to do a whole lot. And also, my favorite play of that game for Jameis Winston, because everybody has all these questions, is he going to turn the ball over 30 times? He had a clean pocket, but nobody was open. He sat, he waited, and then he threw the ball away. And I said, that right there is the play of the game, because 3 years ago, 4 years ago in Tampa Bay, Jameis would have tried to force something and he would have got picked off. I think he's matured under Sean Payton, learned from Drew Brees. I really like the Saints. As far as the total, I'm staying away because I think the Saints are a lot better defensively than people give them credit for. I thought they had the perfect defensive game plan against Rodgers, playing just a lot of two-shell. You know, you don't really blitz Rodgers a whole lot because that's when he picks you apart. So, if anything, I'm staying away from the total. I would actually lean the under, even though it keeps going up, and I love the Saints to beat Carolina this week.
They're favored by 3 at most, but one book has them as a pick'em, which I don't understand, but they're favored by 3, wow. 3.5.
Yeah. I would take it all the way up to 4. I like Carolina. I like what I saw, but you got to remember they played the Jets. Obviously, I think Sam Darnold's going to be much better now that he's got far, far away from Adam Gase. But I think, you know, and that was the funny thing. Like, everybody was so down on the Saints. But if you look at the Saints a couple years back when they made Teddy Bridgewater the highest paid backup quarterback, Teddy did great. They didn't lose a game with him. And I love Drew Brees. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks ever to play the game. But, I mean, we saw it last year. You know, he really couldn't push the ball down the field. The arm strength wasn't there. The one thing about Drew Brees, though, is he didn't turn the football over. You know what I'm saying? But I was pleasantly surprised and kind of embarrassed for my team since they didn't even get into the end zone. Like, you know, I do my Milwaukee hits. I still jump on my old station, 12:50 a.m., the Fan. And they're like, hey, what are some positives to take away from Green Bay side? And I said, Mason Crosby hit his lone field goal attempt. The punter looked decent after they had to cut J.K. Scott. But that was my only positive. I just thought the Saints outplayed them, and it just looked like they wanted it more. I hate when people say that they wanted it more. Obviously, both teams want it, but they looked like the more aggressive team.
Ryan, you know, people forget about Sean Payton. He took Kerry Collins to a Super Bowl with the Giants. Quincy Carter threw for over 3,000 yards with him in Dallas. Vinny Testaverde had a bit of a rebirth under Sean Payton in Dallas. So, I mean, he kind of knows what he's doing when he's operating quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I feel like people no longer talk about that because now Sean Payton, who's still a young guy, but now, like, everybody wants to talk about the next Sean McVay or the next Matt LaFleur, you know, or when's Lincoln Riley going to leave Oklahoma and take over the Dallas Cowboys, because everybody wants these young play callers. But Sean Payton was like the original quarterback whisperer. And I think he's good. You also have to remember, I mean, Jameis Winston, this guy was the first overall pick. He's always had the arm strength. The decision-making has just been terrible. We also have to remember he had the LASIK surgery, so now he's able to see. I love Sean Payton. I think he's one of the more underrated coaches. And it's crazy to say that because the guy's won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And you look what he's done with all these guys. And I think he's been great. I really like this Saints team. I think that people are undervaluing them a lot.
Ryan, is there any odds on who's going to be the head coach at USC?
Oh, man. So I haven't seen anything yet. But you know what's funny? A couple weeks ago, literally 2 weeks ago, right before the firing. So last week I said, you know what I could see happening is everybody's talking about Urban Meyer. I know he's the hot name. I don't think he's leaving Jacksonville, at least this year. I think that would be a really bad look. I think he at least has to get a win under his belt. I said that I could see Matt Campbell, if Iowa clubbed Iowa State, and he still hasn't beat Kirk. But I really like Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and I know he wants a bigger job. I was thinking that if they overexceeded expectations, which would be hard for them to do since they were in the top 10, but they get blown out by Iowa last Saturday, they win double-digit games, win a bowl game, and USC did make the firing, which they did a lot earlier than I expected, but I guess that's what happens when you lose outright as 17-point favorites in a game you're supposed to win, you know, pretty heavily, pretty handily. So I think that if Matt Campbell is still able to have maybe a one-loss, two-loss season, because I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma, I can see maybe him taking that job. I feel like that's a name. But other than that, you know, I don't think Urban Meyer or any of these people that are being discussed. What about you guys? Do you have any takes on that?
Mario Cristobal from Oregon. I tell you why. Because if you look back at USC's history, even before they hired Pete Carroll, you know, they went after a couple of Pac-10 coaches. Yeah. Ed Orgeron got the job as an interim job. Who did they get? Steve Sarkisian from Washington. Yeah. So there is a little bit of a history there. And I know one thing, Mario knows how to recruit California. He got more top recruits from California than USC does. So
yeah.
I would not be surprised the powers to be there and people who got cash, and they got a few of them there, say, you know what? We tired of getting our butts kicked by this guy stealing players and going to Oregon. Hey, let's go get him to keep him here. So I think Cristobal is a guy to watch because, man, to me, he just looks like a guy that's got a little bit of quick feet with him. If something happens, he'd be able to move and say, hey, it's been great in Oregon, but I'm going to coach at USC.
Yeah, and he's coming off, you know, a huge win against Ohio State. And I loved the Ducks even without Thibodeau this last week, and they were 14.5-point underdogs. And I said, I think they have a shot to win this game outright, and everybody was calling me crazy. I really like Mario, and I know – you know, it's funny because now he's getting pressed about this at these press conferences, and I'm kind of concerned how that's going to affect the Oregon. You know, but what is he supposed to say? Oh, yeah, you know, I would love to, head over to USC after this year. Well, no, he's got an undefeated team. I thought he outcoached Ryan Day last week. I absolutely love him. And he has a 27-10 record. And, you know, I feel like every year the way people talk about him, he's on the hot seat or something like that. But I completely agree. He knows how to recruit the area, and I think he's a great coach.
Ryan. One of the things, Ryan, is a game I'd be interested in your take on is Tulane Ole Miss. You know the over and under is a little high on that. And understanding both defenses, you know, and the way they play the game today with two gunslinger quarterbacks, man, this game is going to be up there number-wise. Your take on Ole Miss Tulane, which I think has now turned into a very interesting football game.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, the last I saw, Ole Miss was favored by 14 points. And I don't really want to touch that spread because I think this game might be a little bit closer than a lot of people expect.
I agree.
Know, the trends will tell you a jump on Ole Miss. They're 3-0-1 against the spread in the last four games when they're favored by more than 10 points. So that's the one thing that Lane's able to do is beat up on the teams that he's supposed to beat up on. I don't think they could set that total high enough where I'm not taking the over. Now, I did the same thing with Ole Miss week one, you know, and they scored a bunch of points, but they've improved a lot defensively. I really like this team. I played them, their season win total, I played it. It was over. It was at 8, and I hammered the over. I absolutely love this team. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. So I don't think they could set the total up. I'm going to have to take it, man, because Tulane has given up 30 points per game and 332 yards per game. I like this Tulane team, too, though. I think they're really sneaky, so I'm expecting a close game. I'd probably take them with the points and then take the over because, you know, that's a game that I want to sit down and I want to root for two good quarterbacks to put up numbers. I don't want to root for a defensive battle. I'm from the Midwest, so I get enough of that with the Big Ten. You know, every morning I wake up and sit around and watch noon football where I'm watching, you know, over 47.5 punts in that game. So I want to see some offense in this one.
Ryan Horvat, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight on and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ryan Horvat. Be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more of Ryan Horvat and his analysis. Just search BetMGM wherever you find your podcast. Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick here on Sports Talk on WWL.